Hi, everybody in podcast land and also on YouTube. I'm James.
I'm David.
I'm Riley.
This is the Carpool Critics Movie Podcast. And today, we are talking about a parody movie. Is it even a real movie? Spaceballs from 1987.
Spoiler alert!
Huh, you guys.
That wasn't themed, but...
Okay. David, what do you think about this movie?
Spaceballs is parsecs away from Mel Brooks' finest, but it's a decent watch for any Star Wars fan and a good example of throwing every single type of comedy at the screen and seeing what sticks.
Hmm.
I rate it ludicrous out of plaid.
Okay, you can't do that.
7 out of 10.
7?
This is going to be terrible.
Holy crap.
Oh my gosh.
This Wait, what do you mean?
I don't know what direction Riley is mad at.
We're about to find out.
All right. If you long for a simpler time in comedy when crotch shots, fourth wall breaks, and over-the-top acting was the name of the game, then you might still want to skip this one because, who? It's rough. But it might be worth a rewatch if you loved it as a kid. 4.5 out of 10. And I have good reasons. I like personally, maybe I like this movie, but like, ooh, it was a rough watch, man.
Wow.
It was
Bloody
rough.
Boy, I think you and I are just totally... in sync this episode. Spaceballs somehow managed to age worse than even John Candy did. 5 out of 10.
Because and he's dead.
Riley. And that 5 out of 10 was a generous upgrade from 4.5/4.8 that I was going to give it.
Oh.
Just because, you know, there's a lot of gifs and references.
Oh,
it obviously has staying power. It obviously has a lot of good about it.
Yeah.
But still, I just... Even though I loved it as a kid, I just wanted to turn it off.
Oh, wow. I loved this movie as a kid.
Okay, yeah. David, you're going to go to bat for this movie right after this message from our sponsor. Vessi Footwear, a new sponsor.
What?
Vessi is famous for making shoes that are light, comfortable, and most importantly, waterproof. Good for us Pacific Northwesterners. They're made from dual climate knit material. They're 100% vegan, which is completely badass. And they just announced their new weekend shoe, which Riley is wearing right now. You can hear it, you can see it if you're on YouTube.
And now you can smell it.
It's got a good sound.
So head to Vessi.com/carpoolcritics to reserve your own for this new shoe that's launching this weekend, or check out their existing lineup and get, Jesus, $40 off using our code.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I have a pair of those older ones too, and they are 100% pretty cool.
They've been my shoes for the past however long since we got them the first time.
We're also brought to you by PIA, Private Internet Access VPN. They help you hide your true IP address so that you can bypass geo restrictions and censorship. Free speech! You can connect up to 5 devices at once, and it includes an internet kill switch if your VPN gets disconnected involuntarily. PIA is available for Windows, Mac, Android, iOS, and even has a god dang Chrome extension. So check it out at lmg.gg/carpoolpia.
I was trying to do a lightsaber, but it didn't sound like
that.
No,
it's pretty good.
It was good to me.
I missed your kill switch last week, so thank you.
Yeah, it was better than that.
Is this movie Spaceballs even really worth synopsizing? It has a plot.
I wrote a synopsis, but it's shorter than usual.
Let's remind us.
After wasting the fresh air on planet Spaceball, President Scroob orders his henchman Dark Helmet to kidnap Princess Vespa so she can be held for ransom in exchange for the code to Druidia's atmosphere. That's a peaceful planet. So the king of Druidia hires seasoned mercenary Lone Star and his trusty half-human, half-dog sidekick, Barf, that's the Chewbacca analog, to rescue the princess. They do, but then she gets captured again. And then she gets rescued again. Lone Star finds out he can control the mystical power known as the Schwartz, which he uses to stop Dark Helmet and blow up his ship. Then he finds out he's a prince so he can marry Vespa. Then the movie finally ends. Oh, man.
It's only an hour and a half.
It is, but like, I was surprised at how much I wanted it to just...
But not because, to me, not because of the pacing. It wasn't like, this feels long.
No.
It was just that each scene, I was just like,
I know. Oh,
you know what I think happened? James, you're packing up to move. You're tired. You're sick. Comedies are so dependent on your mood. You heard he didn't like it, and you're like, I want to be a cool kid this week.
No way. No, wait, David.
You always accuse me of being twisted by the media.
Biased.
Wait, I didn't even hear that he didn't like it. Because I watched the whole thing, and then he was like, oh, I couldn't get past the first half.
I got half an hour in, and I messaged the group being like, guys.
No, I didn't even see that. See,
this movie sucks.
And I saw that message the next day, and I thought that was so funny because about half an hour in, I thought about messaging the group, and I was like, guys, and saying, this movie is really bad. But I stuck through it.
Where did it turn around for you? I have a very specific scene in mind where I was like, this is actually pretty good.
The scene where I remember being like, oh, okay, maybe this holds up a little better than I think it's holding up right now is the jamming the radar scene.
Oh, really?
We're like,
I love it.
Okay, okay. I did chuckle at that.
We'll jam the radar, and then they go to the radar guy, and he's like doing all the sound effects, like, and they're like, the radar, it's been jammed. And Dark Helmet puts his finger on the screen because jam is literally coming out of the monitor, and he tastes it and he's like, raspberry. There's only one man who would dare to raspberry me, Lone Star. And then the camera's tracking him the whole time and it hits him in the head and he falls over. And I was like, ha ha ha.
Oh, that didn't get me. The part that actually made me laugh is when they cut to space and they show the satellite dish and they show a big jar of jam smashing against
it. Oh, really?
It. That I thought was funny.
See, when I saw that, it was the knocking into Dark Helmet thing that got me. The jam on the radar dish did nothing for me. I was like, get out of here. Stop. There's so many scenes, like, it's crazy because, all right, we all saw this as kids, right?
Yes.
And my friend group and I loved this movie. I don't even know how many times we watched it. It must have been like, 8 or 10 times or something. And we were so inspired by this type of movie because it's so slapstick. It's so in your face, it's over the top, ridiculous, breaking the fourth wall, looking at the camera. And we were so inspired by this that we went and like tried to make parodies. We made parody versions of The Lord of the Rings, all three movies.
Oh God.
And they ended up being like 15-minute VHS tapes.
Do
or
they
whatever.
Still exist?
They
have
you know,
they been digitized?
To this day we're trying to find whether somebody has them. One of this friend group like lives in Australia now,
oh,
and
God.
We were like, we thought that he had them, but anyways,
they're at his parents' house.
They might exist somewhere, and we like that's our holy grail right now. We're like, can we find them? But yeah, we made like 15-minute like parody versions of Lord of the Rings because of Spaceballs and other things, Airplane or Hot Shots.
That dude, that radar technician, does all the sound effects. He's from Police Academy.
Yeah, all
right,
of them.
Right.
Michael Winslow.
That's like a.
So it's like a cameo in this movie, as far as I know.
Do you guys like this type of comedy? Like, do you like Airplane? Do you like other Mel Brooks comedies?
See, now this is the thing. I haven't seen them for a while. It's been a while since I watched like an Airplane or a Hot Shots.
Is Hot Shots the one that's like Top Gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not Mel Brooks.
Oh, is it? Yeah, but it's
Zazz,
but it's that kind of like,
it's like Naked Gun,
slapstick comedy, and it's been a while. I don't know. So this was a test because I haven't seen one of those for a while, and I remember loving them. I'm like Spaceballs, like when we said we were doing Spaceballs this week, I was like, oh man, I haven't seen that in so long. I was excited, and I put it on, and I was like, it was like taking a peek behind the veil and finding out the Wizard of Oz is just like a shriveled old man. It's just kind of like, huh. Or finding yogurt, you know?
Just plain old yogurt.
To keep the references to this movie. I was just like, oh no, this is a bad movie.
I realized it from the opening crawl. They have like the parody opening crawl.
Yeah.
The Star Wars text goes by the screen and explains to you the plot.
Yeah.
And even from that, I was like, oh no, this isn't funny.
Yeah, the text is a missed opportunity. I think though, it works fine as a parody of Star Wars. Like the adventure is good enough. And like all the elements are there to make it that like, even if there was no Star Wars, it would work fine as an adventure.
And you know what's funny about, sorry.
Wait, you're saying that if you had never seen Star Wars and you watched this, it's still
the adventure
kind of
is like fine.
Yeah,
really?
it has all the elements, but it's so, I found one of the hardest things to watch about this movie is how melodramatic it came off.
Mm.
And I don't know if that aspect is parody or not. Like for example, anytime there's a conflict between Lone Star and the princess, and they're just yelling at each other like, you pick it up. No, you pick it up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, holy cow, this is so bad.
This is my least favorite Mel Brooks movie.
Oh, yeah.
But he is like a straight line to my funny bone. I love him. But I think there's one thing in this movie that actually brings the whole thing down. And it's that melodrama from one particular person. And it's Princess Vespa.
I think that she's
given the kind of the straight person role where she's kind of has to carry the drama where Lone Star and John Candy get to be goofy, be silly, but she has to carry the drama. And she just doesn't manage it. Like, Mel Brooks has directed and, like, cast many, many very funny women, but I don't think that was very good casting for that character.
See,
who is Daphne Zuniga? What was she doing before?
She did The Fly, but I think that's after.
Yeah, I didn't recognize.
Is that why there was a fly reference in this movie?
Is there a fly reference?
What is the reference? No,
there was like a metamorphosis reference.
Oh no, that's different. That's just the Kafka.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not The Fly. It's,
yeah, but The Fly is Kafka-esque, is it not? Okay, I'm reaching here.
The melodrama between Lone Star and Vespa, I think, like, I think it was a parody of, like, the vibe between, like, Han Solo and Princess Leia.
For sure.
But on another level, I feel like Mel Brooks kind of likes that sort of campy, like, it's not necessarily full satire all the way. It's just kind of like a fun romp, you know, and like, oh, we're arguing and then we love each other. And that's just, it's just kind of silly.
Totally.
And I feel like it works on that level. But there's a whole level watching this movie where I was frustrated as a Star Wars fan because a lot of it, like, it's clear that he doesn't really, in some aspects, he has it dead on. Like, the satire of Star Wars as, like, a merchandising machine, like, the whole deal that, like, yogurt, which is the analog of Yoda, the way he makes money on this, like, remote planet is by merchandising Spaceballs merchandise, which is the movie that they're in. That was a joke that was funny throughout the movie.
And I liked how they kept it going. Suddenly, after that, like, he shows this little shop, and he's like, Spaceball's the TV show. Yeah, Spaceball's the t-shirt. And he just shows all these items. And from then on, anytime you see a random object, it just has Spaceballs on it. Like, Spaceball's the toilet paper in an upcoming bathroom scene. That was so sweet.
And apparently George Lucas thought that was hilarious.
He loves this movie. Yeah. He wrote Mel Brooks a letter after.
Right. Yeah, he was a big fan. But so things like that, it's spot on. But other things, it just kind of annoyed me. Like, I don't know, like planet Druidia, and how, like, she's a princess, but then because she's a princess, we're going to make her planet kind of like this, like, old medieval thing. And I was just kind of like, this isn't Star Wars. Like, what are you making fun of in Star Wars
I think it's a parody of, like, fantasy and sci-fi more generally. Because when they're on, like, the Tatooine desert planet, that's a Lawrence of Arabia parody. It has, like, the same music.
Oh,
and
some
similar shots.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I guess... Druidia, I guess they just want some fantasy elements or, like, medieval elements.
I feel like the druid thing is so that they can make the Druish princess jokes.
She doesn't look Druish.
Yeah, she doesn't look Druish.
So it's
Druish princesses are attracted to money and power, and I have both.
Mel Brooks is Jewish, right?
Yes. He's so iconically British.
There's a lot of self-referential Jewish jokes.
And there's always Hitler jokes in every movie. Yep. And they're always the best ones.
Oh, what was the Hitler joke?
The stunt double is Hitler with a cigar.
Yeah, I was wondering that, actually. I was like, why does he have a Hitler stick?
Is that when they capture them? They're all captured, and then
they're all replaced with stunt doubles. That's how they do it.
You idiots! You've captured their stunt doubles!
And the princess is just like a dude with long hair and a cigar in his mouth. Yeah.
Is that the Hitler guy?
Yeah.
But he didn't look like Hitler to me.
He had long hair. He had a Hitler mustache.
He's got a Hitler stash. He's not actually Hitler, but it's definitely
It's just a little tiny thing.
I think that the comedy in this movie is, like, takes not the shotgun approach, but the minigun approach. It, like, is a nonstop barrage of jokes of every different variety, like visual jokes, like slapstick, physical, wordplay, all these things. And it's like, there's, like, pauses in between, but it tries everything. But when it works for me, like, I laugh out loud. Like, I think the merchandising, I think the Hitler scene. What else did I write?
I actually laughed out loud zero times.
Really?
Like, yeah, but you're dead in the inside.
I'm not, man. I am not. I laugh. Like, I'll watch stand-up on my couch.
I laugh. Come on.
I think things are funny. I don't know. Like, twice. I didn't, like, lol.
I laughed, like, maybe three or four times.
See, the stuff, like, I love the scene when they're, like, trying to figure out what's going on and where they went. So they open up the shelf and there's all the Mel Brooks VHSs. And, like, which one? And it's like, oh, Spaceballs, here, the one we're in.
This actually comes full circle to what we were talking about 10 minutes ago, where I asked Riley, what was the scene where this movie actually is kind of cool and something different? And that was it for me.
So, right.
When suddenly they're looking at a screen, like, well, they have this new technology, VHS, instant VHS. It comes out before the movie's even done. And put on Spaceballs. How can we put it on if we're still making the movie right now? And they put it on and they fast forward to the moment they're in. What are we looking at? We're looking at now. When? Then? Is it now? We just missed it. Like, that was so clever. It felt like a Seinfeld kind of kind of sketch. And I thought that was really cool and meta. And that was the moment where I thought, okay, this movie is a little different.
There's a few scenes like that where they do kind of like a Abbott and Costello who's on first type of thing. Like, who's on first? Who is? What? Who? No, what's on second?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like things like that. And I appreciate that. But a big part of this, why I didn't love it so much, is that I saw, like, I loved the VHS joke as a kid. Like, where are we in the movie? Oh, rewind. Oh, go past this part. Don't never go back here again. And I loved it as a movie. I thought that was so funny. But I think part of this is that this is so played out. These kind of jokes, we've seen them done over and over and over.
This is part of it.
To the point where slapstick comedies like this one, just they don't make them anymore. They don't make them anymore because these jokes were just done to death. And now it's like you can't. I think I asked this question in another podcast we did, where it's like, do you think we'll ever have slapstick comedy in the same way as this ever again?
I hope so.
Or is it just gone?
I don't know, man, because it's not just the comedy that's like that. It's actually going back to the conflicts between Lone Star and the Princess, that melodrama. It's the same thing there too. Like when she's in the back room and he's in the cockpit and each one of them is saying like, oh, I'm going to go give the other one what for.
Yeah.
And their compatriots like Marf is like, oh, she's a princess. You can't do that, you know. And then the robot character
Dot Matrix
is like, what if he's really good looking? He sounds cute. And they're all building up how much they're going to hate the other.
Yeah.
And like, guess what's gonna happen? They're gonna walk through the door and they're gonna go, wow, you're actually really pretty. And the whole movie is stereotypes like that. And I don't know if it's because they're parodying stereotypes or if it's just because
this is the first time.
Now stereotypical.
I know.
Itself.
I don't know what to think about it. It's like, is this the first time that they've done this? Is this the first time that they made a joke about we're watching the movie before the movie came out? Because like that's happened a few times since then.
I think that a lot of it is new. And like Mel Brooks is like a brilliant comedian, but I don't get the sense that this is the movie he worked the hardest on the script for.
Mm.
I feel like he was
definitely.
He was like, Star Wars is big. It's okay. Yeah, I can make something funny, but didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
He just like,
yeah.
Someone give him a highlight reel.
That's
he's like, yeah, big ship. Gold robot. Okay. Yeah. And kind of just like put the pieces together. Like he clearly doesn't love Star Wars in the same way that like a lot of, I think, better satire, the writers do. And I think that permeates through.
That's kind of what I was talking about.
Yeah. But there's still all the clever bits that I think win me over.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about with like in terms of the satire of a parody of Star Wars or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like Family Guy did their
the Blue Harvest
Harvest, yeah, yeah. The Star Wars parody, and that is like you watch something like that and you can really tell that they're Star Wars fans.
Totally. Or the Orville, with Star Trek.
Oh, okay, yeah, I haven't watched the Orville, but I have heard that it's like a really good parody of Star Trek.
Better Star Trek,
but
than
then
Star
it also
Trek.
Turns into like a really good drama on its own.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not really a parody; it's just kind of like a
it just becomes Star
its own
Trek
version of it, really.
Weird. Okay. I love it.
But yeah, like Blue Harvest from Family Guy or whatever, or Thumb Wars. Did you guys ever see Thumb Wars?
I was going to wait to bring up Thumb Wars.
Yeah. Like those are like loving fan parodies sort of. And this one, you watch it and you're just kind of like, Mel Brooks doesn't even care about Star Wars. He's just like, it's just a funny space thing in space with lasers. The ship's really long.
I didn't feel that. I guess I'm not.
Oh, no? So, but I don't think you're a huge Star Wars fan.
So tell me what is seen through the eyes of a huge Star Wars fan that gives that away.
I think the medieval theme of the first planet kind of did that for me. I think like Barf being like a half man, half dog. I'm a Mog. I don't know. Like all the names are so dumb. President Scroob.
Screwball.
Scroob is Mel Brooks.
It's also an anagram of Brooks. Vespa, like where'd that come from? Lone Star actually makes sense because it's kind of like that Han Solo. It's sort of like thematically similar, but like, and yogurt, I guess, makes sense.
Yogurt's
like,
the best one.
Yeah, Dot Matrix, like where'd that come? I don't know.
It's a printer.
What?
It's a Dot Matrix printer.
Is that what it is?
And Dot is a female first name, so that's nice.
It kind of works.
I don't know. I just like, you know, like people try to come up with like droid names like C-3PO, but like they work like penis into there or something, you know, like that. That seems to be more like something like someone would do because they know that droids have numerical designations. Yeah. So they give them that instead of just giving them a different name.
I think what gives it away to me is that there's not a parody of like the small things in Star Wars. It's only the broad strokes. It's like, okay, there was a big ship in Star Wars. We'll make a big ship with a big funny bumper sticker.
Yeah.
We'll do that. They don't like take a character and like break it apart. They just kind of, from the outside, are looking at all these things. Right. And you get, it's hard to point like a detail, but it just...
Like a vacuum drone. If there was like those, you know those little cleaner bots that are always...
Yeah.
Like mouse droids.
Yeah. Is that...
They're called mouse droids.
Okay, thank you. If they had parodied something like that, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, or like they could have made fun of like Han Solo and Chewbacca, the way they communicate or something. And like,
yeah.
There's like more in jokes, yeah. And it never feels like this is on the inside of Star Wars.
I thought like it was a bit of a missed opportunity to have John Candy. Well, okay, it's John Candy, so like he has to speak English. But I thought
He's
I didn't
so underutilized.
He's an amazing actor. We all revere John Candy, obviously, yeah. but he didn't do it for me in this.
No.
Apparently, part of it is that he didn't feel like he could improvise because he had all these animatronics, so they were set, and so he had all these other people that. He couldn't really just freely do stuff.
Interesting. Right.
And so it kind of, I think it does take away from his performance. I think that this is might be his worst movie.
Oh, man. There's also stuff in this movie that just makes it seem like it was written by a 9-year-old. And I think that, like, it's a funny combination of, like, 9-year-old playing in a sandbox, just coming up with random, weird, silly things to have his action figures do. And... old man who doesn't understand sci-fi, like when they have to escape, their version of hyperspace or whatever is to say activate the secret hyperjack jets, and they're like, oh no, they're going hyperactive. And it's just like, that doesn't even make
to me that is a parody
of
sci-fi.
And that's what I'm saying, though, like to someone who isn't like who wasn't born and bred on Star Wars, you know, it's like that'd be like, oh, hyperspace, hyperactive, haha. But like, I don't know, just the secret hyperjets. That's like something a 9-year-old would say when he's playing with this spaceship, and he's like, oh no, I'm gonna activate secret hyperjets. Whoa, you know.
To me, it works.
And the ludicrous speed.
So,
that's funny. It's funny, and I remember loving that as a kid. But it's just like, I don't know. It's not on point enough for me.
I think the ludicrous speed scene was brutal for me, and then Dark Helmet goes flying into the wall.
That was silly.
I think
that scene's not particularly great, but the side of the conflict I think that more generally has its jokes hit is the Dark Helmet side. I think Rick Moranis is very funny.
We haven't talked about him.
Because he doesn't have the fun suck of Vespa in the room, just removing all the comedy away from him, he actually gets a lot of laughs from me.
Yeah. Rick Moranis is great in this movie.
Yeah, like, I love the joke when they go up to the machine. He's like, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's the coffee machine.
It's called, like, Coffee Mister or something.
Yeah, Mr. Coffee. Yeah, and the rest of the scene.
What are they looking at? Mr. Radar.
And then they don't even announce this later on.
This isn't Radar, it's Coffee. That's right, it's Mr. Coffee.
But later on, when they're doing that scene with the instant VHS,
yep.
And they're looking through the library of other Mel Brooks movies, it says above that library shelf, like Mr. Rental or something. But they don't even verbalize it. Yeah. I thought that was nice.
I love all those background jokes, like when they're on Planet Druidia and it's like they're in the military base and it's like, conserve air, breathe less.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, there's a lot of background jokes that add to the layer of it. And it doesn't feel lazy, but I totally... Yeah, I can't excuse Mel Brooks from not loving Star Wars and making fun of Star Wars. Yeah, it just feels like it's like, hey, man, you're not allowed to make fun of Star Wars if you don't like Star Wars.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't want to say like, oh, he shouldn't have made fun of it. But I just like, as a Star Wars fan, I find things that more understand Star Wars and understand the things that are ripe for parody there instead of, oh my gosh, isn't it so dumb how there's these stories with spaceships? Like, let's just make the spaceship an RV.
Dude, I totally get what you're saying. One time, there was this video that went semi-viral. That was a YouTube video saying like how to make a Nine Inch Nails song, and I'm a really big Nine Inch Nails fan.
Yeah.
And I watched this. You know, it's like other people have done this, where it's like first you start with this, and then they do something that sounds similar. But in that video, he hadn't really done a good job of making a song that sounds like any Nine Inch Nails song.
Right.
He basically had made a song that sounded like the particular single copy of it that had just come out.
Right.
I was like, your video really should be like how to make copy of a, not how to make a Nine Inch Nails song. And I was just so butthurt and pissed.
Yeah, exactly. No, that totally makes sense.
That's how you sound now.
Yeah. No, totally. Because they, like a non-fan will see these kind of superficial elements and just be like, that's what makes Nine Inch Nails. That's what makes Star Wars.
And the thing that's frustrating is like, there are things, there are such strong things that are in all Nine Inch Nails songs that you could have utilized for your video, but you missed all those.
No, exactly. Like a good example I think that you gave was like Chewbacca and Han, like he just roars and Han knows what he means. And I think that that's a big opportunity that they could have made fun of. Like he could have just been like, and he's like, you have a strong inkling that something is going to happen in this way and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like it's like a long thing or whatever.
Yeah. Or like why Vespa and like Han Solo could be brother and sister or something.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that would have been really gross and funny.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But then there's like just like the little stuff, like Rick Moranis when they're combing the desert, which got a good chuckle from me. And he has this stupid like 1800s
that was funny.
Hat, and he has like the little swing door and he's just like yelling
that.
Through it.
Like comb the desert part, I remember as one of the things I used to quote as a kid. We ain't found shit all the time.
Yeah.
But I never clued in until this rewatch as an adult that those soldiers doing that combing, they're the third one shown, and it goes like white soldiers with a big like rectangular comb, and it does that twice, and it shows those soldiers and they have a afro pick as their comb.
Yeah.
I didn't clue into that.
I didn't even get that this time.
Oh, that's our Riley.
Oh,
yeah, the stuff for me that didn't age well is all like the borderline raunchy jokes, like when they're making dick jokes, or when Mel Brooks is peeing and then the sergeant pops up on the screen and they have their conversation and then she looks down and is like, mm.
Yeah.
I was just like,
it's like, why do they have
unnecessary. And then
I liked it. I liked her. I liked her just like lascivious demeanor.
Yeah.
A big question mark for me in the early movie was when the president goes over and he's got those twins and they're like, hi, President Scroob. And I'm like, what is this a parody of?
It's a gum commercial.
What?
It's a gum commercial.
Are they
in
like
the 80s.
Orbit gum people?
Yeah, there was like a commercial with two blonde like twins in a Double Mint gum commercial.
But what does that have to do with Star Wars?
It has nothing to do with it. It's I think all that stuff that's like pop culture references, like pizza's gonna send out for you, apparently is like a tagline from like Domino's or something.
Oh, Pizza the Hut was so gross.
It's like really gross.
Is this movie, I think, pretty sure I watched it in 4K and it was like hyper real. Like it was like I needed it to be softened a bit.
Yeah.
You know, like I've heard an anecdote that once 4K started coming out that Hollywood had to rebuild all its sets because they were too shoddily made and you couldn't notice before in HD. But in 4K, like you could suddenly see all these crappy nails sticking out. And this movie looked like that.
Yeah.
I was like there's this one scene throughout the whole movie. I kind of felt that I was just watching improv comedy on a stage or something like that. Like I didn't feel like I was seeing a movie. And I think this remaster is part of it. But further to that, like when they were in their Winnebago, which is hilarious, by the way, when like their ship is like shaking, it just looked like the backdrop behind them was like a set of drapes that people were just moving with their hands to like make
well
the set shake. It probably
I
was,
hope it is.
But it just really felt like it was. I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah. I think that this type of comedy, to answer maybe the question that I posed earlier, like do we have this type of comedy? It exists in sketch comedy. Like it exists in SNL and like stupid YouTube sketches and what or whatever. Like I feel like that's what this type of comedy has been relegated to. We don't get movies like this anymore. We know now that it's like that it's not the type of thing that people are going to go buy tickets and go see a
lot of it is like dad jokes. It actually made me reflect on myself. I was like, shit.
On my behavior.
Yeah, there was a part where it's like, oh no, this process is irreversible. And this other dude's like my raincoat. And I thought,
I know.
I was like, oh
shut
my.
Shut up.
That's exactly what I would say. No.
Oh, I love it. Oh man, I love it.
You know what? One joke in this movie that I'm really conflicted about is the combination, the luggage combination one.
Oh, I love that
joke. They get the combination to Druidia's atmosphere, and it turns out that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the president, and they're
Rick
like
Moranis.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that would be a combination an idiot would put on his luggage. And then the president comes in and he's like, what's the combination? They're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's like, amazing, I have the same combination in my luggage. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, is that good?
It is a good joke. And I think like the timing and delivery of it is a huge part of that. And I think part of it is that you've seen the movie. And so it's hard for a comedy on repeat viewings to have the same effects. You're anticipating these jokes and like to be like, oh yeah, I know he's kind of come in and be like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's my combination.
Hold on though. Riley, were you anticipating the jokes? Had you seen it enough times recently enough that you knew which one was coming?
Oh, I don't think that there was a joke in this movie that I was like, oh, I forgot about that one.
Okay, for me, it was all that. Because I saw it as a kid once.
Oh, really?
But we quoted it extensively. And the weird thing for me was when they said the lines that I recognized, and they weren't the same or as funny. Like, the most the most quoted one probably was, I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yep. That's the
didn't care.
Yeah, totally. It's not very
it's
funny.
Lame. It's lame.
It's so lame. When they shoot each other in the dicks, I was like, not funny.
I know. Dicks.
The most quoted one, though, was when it's like, I am your father's brother's nephew's roommate. We used to say that all the time and lose our shit.
Totally. I know.
But I didn't even chuckle.
No, me neither. As soon as he said that, I was just like, no. What did I write down? I'm like, I am your father's blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not funny is what I wrote.
Yeah.
But you know what I did find funny in that scene was when he, like, when Dark Helmet tricks him into, like, losing his ring or whatever. That was great. He's like, you know what? Put her there. You'll get a good job. He's like, oh, I can't believe you fell for it. The oldest trick in the book. What a goof. Come on, man. He's like, here, look, I'll give it back to you. Oh, I got you again. I was laughing throughout that whole part. I was like, ah, that's good. But I think that's because that was a bit more of like a modern joke.
Yeah.
That's a bit more of a joke that we would see today. Where it's like, ah, you freaking idiot. Yeah. You fell for this,
okay,
you know?
Okay, let me tell you about the part I laughed. I actually laughed out loud. This was the one, David. And I wonder if the same logic applies about its modernity. I don't think so, though. It was the time when they're like looking for the princess who's in jail, and they hear someone singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Then it's the princess, and they're like, what? And then Marv's like, turns out she's a bass. I thought that was so funny.
I didn't laugh out loud at that either, but I was kind of like, oh, that's, I appreciated that a little bit more. Man, it's crazy how much I was disappointed watching this movie.
I'm sad for you.
So wait. Take me through this. You're watching this movie and you are laughing?
Yeah, for sure.
Regularly?
Yeah, semi-regularly. It's my, like I said, it's my least favorite Mel Brooks movie, but I'm still laughing. Like, the tone of it, the absurd nature, everything. I think I'm willing to accept how stupid it is and embrace the
what
stupidity.
What state were you in? What time was it?
Oh,
it was like 9 to 10:30.
You had dinner already?
Yeah, I was in a good mood. No dessert.
No substances?
Were you enhanced?
No, I wasn't.
You were totally soaked.
I was just enjoying it, having a good time. Hmm. I admittedly, like,
totes
I have decided to go with Mel Brooks movies. I'm not like trying to be like, oh yeah, what's wrong with these? I'm like, I want to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy these. And like, I've already had the process of like judging for myself if I like these, and I've decided I love all of them. And so it's, well, I turn off that switch and I just enjoy it.
Well, that's not,
I think we both had that off though. Cause we both,
I
was coming from a spot of being like, I remember this as a kid, this movie was great.
But I think maybe that's the problem, is that he came in being like, I know that they're not very good, but I'm still going to enjoy them. And we came in being like, oh man, I remember this movie is so funny. And then we came in and we were like, oh no, it's not funny. So I think there's a difference there for sure. I don't know. I think I came in being like, all right, I haven't watched this in a long time. I'm going to watch it with a critical eye because I actually want to know whether it's a good movie or not.
Ah, you did what David said.
And so I came in, what, huh? What do you mean?
You did come in thinking, I'm gonna look deeply at this. I'm gonna scrutinize it. Whereas he had already.
Yeah.
Decided not to do
but
that.
I think I wanted to watch it the same way that I watch all the movies we do. You know what? I probably knew going in that I probably wouldn't like it as much. So maybe that did tarnish it.
Oh my God, this is all
but
falling
it's
apart.
That, guys, like this isn't, even when you look at like the core action adventure of this, it's just so cheesy and campy that I can't enjoy it on the same level that I would enjoy a big fun romp like National Treasure or Star Wars.
Well, you blocked National Treasure. I tried to get us to do National Treasure.
Guys, if you want National Treasure to happen, then tweet at us, message us, comment us. If there's more than, more than like a dozen.
We got to wait a bit.
There's always someone out there who wants us to cover whatever crappy movie.
We're not doing Boondock Saints. I hate that movie.
Really?
It's
really
bad.
I thought we were going to get to it eventually.
Never.
Oh, no.
Never!
I love Boondock Saints. Okay, wait, we can't talk about it, but whatever.
You brought up Thumb Wars.
Yeah.
That's a Steve Odekirk thing.
Yes.
I remember that was like a pretty big deal. And I think it did well enough that they made like Thumbtanic and a few other ones.
Right, loved it.
Yeah.
I don't really remember anything that happened, but I I absolutely loved Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Oh my gosh.
Steve Odenkirk's like big Magnus Carlsen.
We've talked about that a few times. Does that hold up? I don't know. Because that one's a bit of an interesting one because it's like a they use actual footage from real kung fu movies.
It's like an old Chinese movie. They took the footage and sometimes they did reshoots. So if it's like shot reverse shot, it'll go from the old footage to like new footage of Steve Odenkirk. Sometimes they just replace people's faces and stuff. Yeah. Sometimes. And then the whole thing is dubbed. No matter who you're looking at, it's dubbed. That one, I don't know what you mean by hold up. Like, I remember renting it. We rented it when I was staying at my auntie and uncle's house as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was watching it, loving it. And my auntie came in and was watching part of it and was just like, this is so stupid. She walked out. And this is in the 90s. Like, if you watched it, if you were someone like her watching it today, you would hate it for sure. But I feel like I would still like it today.
And I think if you went in like I did and you had decided to be like, I'm going to let everything that I don't like go and just enjoy the parts I enjoy and like go on this adventure, I think you would.
I think I would because it is so stupid.
Yeah.
You're talking about Kung Pao.
Kung Pao is so goddamn stupid.
It really is. I think it would probably hold up in that way as well because it is more like a... I don't want to say more like a sketch, like a comedy sketch, but it kind of is like Spaceballs. You could almost watch, and if you weren't super familiar with Star Wars or a bunch of like sci-fi tropes, you could almost think that it's just like a regular sci-fi adventure comedy, not necessarily like a straight parody sketch type thing.
Here's what it is: we talked earlier about how Spaceballs is like part of an ilk of movies, a type of comedy that was being done at that time, right?
The screwball comedy.
And now that's over, so it seems anachronistic.
Right.
It seems out of time. But the thing with...
Anna Kendrick.
That's right. Anna Kournikova. But the thing with this Odenkirk movie, Kung Pao, is that it was always out there. It was always weird. Nothing else is like it. Nothing ever was. So I think it'll seem today like it seemed yesterday.
I just don't know because I was excited for Spaceballs, sort of, and I went in and I discovered that it's not what I thought it was. It is what I thought it was, but I just enjoyed it a lot more as a kid. You know, I think that's really
well. I only have one choice.
What?
To never watch it again.
Spaceballs?
No. To never watch
Kung Pao. It stays in your brain as this amazing.
I am bleeding, making me the victor. It's such a sick quotable movie.
Chosen one.
Chosen.
I'm coming. Chosen
See?
One.
You get.
See,
it.
I think this movie's a lot like a Scary Movie in a way. If you like ramped up the raunchiness of Spaceballs or ramped down the raunchiness of Scary Movie, they'd be like almost the same movie about a different genre. And Scary Movie is better than everyone thinks.
Dude, weird that you say that because I watched Scary Movie in 2020. I just like, our friends were over. We were like, what are we doing? And we just chucked it on as a joke and then didn't turn it off.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It's so much better than I remember.
Okay, but maybe it's just a function of time. And maybe. It's like 20 years newer. Okay. Mm. Spaceballs is 87. That movie's what?
2001? 2000?
He's Googling. Yeah, it's either, I was going to say
2000. 2000.
It's definitely 2000s. Yeah.
And they also... I think that one suffers in reputation because there's like seven of them after. They got progressively worse.
Yeah, and then by the like seventh Scary Movie or whatever, we're just like, stop.
Yeah, and there was all the like, not another teen movie.
Not another teen movie sucked.
Disaster movie.
Date movie sucked.
Gosh, that was a bad era.
Yeah, but exactly. No more parodies. We don't have parodies anymore.
No, you can do parodies. Just have to care about the property.
What's a parody that has come out in the last 5-10 years?
But wait a second. Maybe a lot of people like
high profile parody.
The Cornetto trilogy. They're all parodies.
The which one?
Ooh, nice.
The Cornetto trilogy.
What is that?
Edgar Wright's movies like Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead. And that's like 15 years up to
but
10
those
years.
Aren't, those aren't.
They're not direct.
Yeah, they're not direct.
They're satires.
They're parodies of genre. And you could argue Spaceballs as well, but I kind of view Spaceballs as mostly Star Wars.
But Scary Movie 2 is about the genre. Like, there's like specific movie callouts, but it's not like just Scream, not just.
That's true. But Hot Fuzz.
I Know What You Did Last Summer, or whatever.
But those Edgar Wright and who are the other guys? Who are the British guys? Nick
Simon
Frost,
Pegg.
Simon Pegg. They're less. Those aren't really slapstick.
But they're still satire.
Like, no, but they don't have to be slapstick because what you're saying is, I bet there's a lot of producers like you who are like, oh, no one's doing parodies anymore. They all suck. But what you're talking about this family of parodies, and just because like all the scary movies and date movies and Not Another Teen Movie, they all started sucking, but they all use the same form of comedy. They're all like Wayans Brothers, like kind of comedies.
Yeah.
So you need to parse that. There's two distinct things. Is it because we're not doing parodies anymore and parody is what sucks?
Sorry.
Or is it because that type of comedy sucks and we're not doing that anymore? And you're conflating the two.
Maybe
producers are conflating the two, and that's why no parodies are getting made.
Fair enough. Fair point that when I said parodies, what I really meant is these kind of slapstick parodies that are just like on the nose, super cheesy, super campy. Like you watch Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead, and there's like real genuine human moments in that. Even though the whole movie is like ridiculous and silly and meant to make you laugh, there are like real moments of character development and stuff, and there is a story, and you can watch it as like a regular movie and enjoy it that way. But I don't know if we'll ever, my point is that I don't know if we'll ever have the kind of slapstick, over the top, look at the camera, break the fourth wall, crotch shots sort of parodies.
Do you know what?
Again.
Do you know what I think killed it?
What?
Mockumentary. I think mockumentary took its spot where that has all the meta jokes. It has all like the slapstick. Like think of like The Office or
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows or Popstar Never Stop, Never Stopping. It's all like not the same tone, not the same jokes, but I think it's taken its place.
Right. You know what? I never saw Popstar Never Stop.
It's really funny. It's worth a watch. Also,
I heard that it was decent.
I think the last good parody, I found it. This is it.
Oh.
And it is fucking awesome, is MacGruber.
Ah,
so good.
What is that?
That's Will Forte. It's like a McJagger parody, and it's like straight McDagger. MacGyver.
MacGyver.
MacGyver parody, and it's like 80s action stupid, but it's Will Forte at his stupidest.
Yeah,
worth a watch.
I never saw the movie, but I loved his MacGruber sketches on SNL.
Yeah,
and he's making the series. A series is coming back.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be on Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service.
Yeah, there's just jokes in the movie that are so stupid and so bad, but they like wrap around. Like, and maybe you don't like it, and it's very specific, but man, there's some jokes in it. Like, at one point, he's like trying not to get fired or something, and he's just like desperately begging not to, like, for the commander not to get rid of him. And he's like, I can't do it. I'll root it, but it's just so.
You gotta do it now.
You really, like, yeah.
You gotta do it.
Find it.
Oh, okay.
No.
I will suck your dick. I will suck your fucking dick. I will do it. Just join my team. I'll suck your dick.
I actually had to like Google Will Forte, and then his images came up, and I was like, I don't recognize this guy.
What
have I missed out on?
Wait, are you kidding me?
So good.
You don't know who Will Forte is?
I don't even know. Like, his face, I'm like vaguely familiar.
Yo, Will Forte, is he my favorite? He might be my favorite SNL cast member ever.
Joy to see in a movie. Whenever I see him in a movie, I'm like, yes.
He's so insane. I love how just insane he is in everything he does. Did you ever watch Last Man on Earth?
Yes. So good.
That one, the show kind of lost steam.
For sure.
But like it started out so strong.
When it's just him, it's the best. Yeah.
Is that the one where the lady that shows up is the chick from
Kristen Schaal.
Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah,
yeah, I saw a couple episodes of that. Yeah.
It's very funny.
Great show. I love Will Forte. The thing in my mind that I'll always remember Will Forte for is showing up on Conan. Like he goes and he'll show up on Conan and play. Oh, who does he play? I don't even know, but he plays like the magnate, the CEO of like some big, Ted Turner. Oh. He comes in, I don't even know who Ted Turner is, but he's like one of these broadcasting big guys.
Ted Turner owns CNN and also a
there
bunch of land with Buffalo. Yeah.
Oh, Buffalo's. So he would come in riding this animatronic Buffalo and he'd just be so insane. He'd have this fake mustache that's falling off. He's sweating profusely, just yelling his face off, just being completely insane. And I'm just like, I love Will Forte.
Yeah, I feel like he's my gateway into cringe comedy, but it doesn't hurt to watch him. Like,
yeah.
He does all this awkward, weird stuff, but I'm not like, ugh. I'm like, I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to make you uncomfortable because you don't feel uncomfortable because he's so like in your face and you just can't help but laugh instead of just being like, feels weird.
I love it.
Bringing it back to Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. That's what we're here for.
I actually had a question. I just noticed this during the movie, and I thought, this is really weird. Why is it? Is it because, like you guys said earlier, you don't think Mel Brooks is a Star Wars fan? Is that the reason that when there's a lightsaber duel between Dark Helmet and Lone Star, that Dark Helmet's lightsaber is green and Lone Star's lightsaber is like yellow orange instead of one of them being like the bad guy using a red one and the good guy using a green or blue one.
It's probably all done in post-production. I don't think they decided before. And the post-production was done by ILM, which is George Lucas's company.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I wrote down, I was like, whoa, these effects look pretty good for a...
Yeah, so it's part of the negotiation. Mel Brooks personally asked George Lucas for permission to make this movie. And yeah. George Lucas was like, heck yeah, just you can't merchandise, which is totally fair. But it also makes me very sad. I really want Spaceballs merchandise. I would kill for it.
No.
I thought it was a licensing thing. I thought maybe like using that type of weapon and with those exact colors wouldn't be allowed.
No, I think it's probably done in post-production and the people were just like, we'll just make it different.
George Lucas gave his personal blessing because he was like, Mel Brooks came to him, like as you say, and like asked him personally. And George Lucas was like, you have complete permission to parody any and all things from Star Wars. Like, just go for it.
What the hell? Are you guys with me that like you think that's a misstep?
No. No, I think, well...
It's not a huge deal, but I just...
I think I initially just was like, all right, they're not the same colors because they didn't want to make the same colors. Yeah, they didn't want to make the same colors.
It's coming out of a ring.
And B, because of what you say, I don't think Mel Brooks really like thought about it that much to be like, oh, right, the bad guys have red lightsabers.
Do you guys know that those escape pod shots were actually stolen from Star Wars?
They looked really good.
Yeah.
It looked so really damn good.
It's unused footage from episode 4, and then they just plopped it in here, and I was like, mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
What part of A New Hope?
Right at the beginning.
Yeah, when C-3PO and R2-D2 escape the Tantive IV, which is a Carillion Corvette, and escape the abduction by the Star Destroyer and go to the surface of Tatooine. So,
I saw those shots and I was like, damn, those look sweet. This movie has a budget, but I guess not.
Guys, I think what we should do right now is we should workshop Spaceballs 2 right now.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, well, they already have the title.
Yeah, the Search for More Money.
The Search for More Money.
That's a great title.
That was a good joke.
Yeah.
You know what's another thing that really worked for me is I talked about how sometimes I didn't believe this was really a parody, and that's when they had like the melodrama. But there was times where it was very clearly a parody, and one of those times was when Rick Moranis was like, why do you always have to prepare to do something? Just do it.
Yeah.
They're always saying like, preparing to ignite thrusters. Yeah. And that was a great like... Why does sci-fi always do this?
Yeah.
I'm freaking out and ranting right now.
But
that
was
great.
I also like how they undercut that by showing that when you don't prepare, then you know it bites you in the ass. So like they're on the speeder on the surface of the desert planet, and he's like, prepare to leave or whatever. And he's like, preparing to leave. He's like, why do you all prepare? Just do it. And they're like, okay, leave. And they just go. And then he's like, oh, and he sits like he gets knocked down.
Should have sat down first. So what?
Same thing with the ludicrous speed.
What should Spaceballs 2 be?
Okay, Lone Star and Barf are caught in a time vortex where they have to keep reliving the same adventure over and over, and like some outside force has to come and save them because we're stuck in the Star Wars where we're just making the same crap and it's getting weirder and weirder and worse and worse.
Did you think about this beforehand?
Just during the podcast.
Okay. Because I was like...
You haven't been actively listening to us?
Just with 30%.
Because I was like, man, it's hard to describe how not interested I am in making the plot for Spaceballs 2. I didn't care about the plot of this one.
Yeah, you could have a good gag at the end.
No, no, no. There's good stuff here. So you need to have like four sensitive children who are descended from...
Oh my gosh, I could make fun of the sequel trilogy.
They're one quarter dog. Okay. Because Marf's got to be boning somebody.
Marf?
Barf. He's a mog.
Half robot, quarter dog, quarter human.
I'm still like a lore nerd about this stupid movie that doesn't matter. He's a mog, monster. Actually, okay? if I was going to make a parody of the sequel trilogy, maybe they would they'd go get their tires changed at a gas station, and the gas station attendant is the most powerful person in the Force, and they're the son of Count Dooku, and they can shoot lightning out of their eyes for some reason. Yeah.
No, you should
do
like...
as far as I go.
Yeah, so you have Yogurt. They have to go find Yogurt, and they think he's going to help them save everything.
But he's a sellout, and he hates merchandise now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they bring him, like, a valuable piece of merchandise that he's supposed to, like, care about.
And he's like, throws
it. The journey is to get Yogurt to care about merchandise again. Okay, I could get behind that.
I'm into this.
That would actually get some character in there and be like, see, the real thing about Star Wars is the toys. Which is like, again, we'd said this earlier, but I think that is the most on point criticism of Star Wars here that, you know, it's funny. I'm going to tell a little story. Not really a story, but I went to my friend's birthday party on the weekend and I was talking to his dad, who is into like, he likes TV shows and movies and stuff. He's kind of into that a little bit. And I was like, how do you feel about Star Wars? And he was like, ah, Star Wars? Ah, I don't know. I didn't really like it.
And this guy's a boomer.
He's a boomer. And I'm like, what do you mean you didn't like it? Like, he's like, that wasn't really like my time or whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about? It came out when you're a teenager, dude. Like, what, how do you not like it? He's like, ah, it's just, I don't really love that, spaceship laser type stuff. And I was like, this is so funny because I think to a lot of people, Star Wars is just that. It's just like a money-making machine. And the thing is, they're not wrong because Star Wars largely exists to sell toys.
For sure.
And
like Happy Meals and crap. Like Happy Burger Meals, King. Like
they have a whole thing called Force Friday mm-hmm. where, is that every year? I don't even know. But I think it's every year they have a thing called Force Friday where it's like, that's when all the merchandise comes out. All the toys, all the bags, all the stuffed animals.
Lego.
Lego. And they do all this thing. It's like this big giant marketing push for all the paraphernalia. And people go nuts about it. Star Wars fans go nuts for it. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to stock up on all the pork, the pork
all
figurines.
The porks.
Yeah. And
they're plushies.
And I hate that. I hate it because I'm like, that's not what Star Wars is to me. You know, Star Wars is the hero's journey. And it's a good versus evil, blah, blah, blah. Like, I love Star Wars for
that
reason.
But you don't want a replica blaster?
I don't have a single piece of... I have an R2-D2 toaster.
Or that's not. Pretty cool.
No.
I have this one very visible thing that goes on your goddamn countertop.
Okay. No, it doesn't. Okay, sorry. So it's not a toaster. It's a waffle maker. And I was gifted it because my aunt-in-law heard that I liked Star Wars, and so she gave that to me for Christmas. I'm like, you know what? Fine, sure. I'll take it. I don't have a waffle maker. Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that you don't have a ton of stuff.
No.
A ton of stuff gifted to you.
Because
you know when your family finds out a single thing about you, and that's just what you get every year?
There have been a few years where multiple people have given me Star Wars, like, making of magazines, like Life magazine, the Star Wars edition, and like Time magazine, and George
Lucas.
They
saw it on the shelf, and they're like,
Lucas, a visionary, and blah, blah, blah. And I like kind of, I hope they're not listening to this. I breeze through them a little bit, and then I throw them out.
Wait, David,
didn't you have a similar experience one
with
Christmas?
Star Wars?
You got like the same thing?
I got Dark Knight, three copies of the Dark Knight from different people. Everyone was like, hey, at least the Dark Knight.
Yeah, of course. You're the Dark Knight guy.
Yeah, one Christmas.
You love Batman.
I love Batman. Yeah, Joker. It's interesting with Star Wars. I think that there's been three generations of management. The first one was the OG, and that was the people that were actually like managing the property were on top of George Lucas, and they were the money people, and that's when we got this oversaturation of toys that created the Spaceballs effect and was like, everything's merchandise. And then we kind of lived through, I think, the golden era, where it was the fans rose up in age and were able to take control.
Right.
And then we got kind of like all the games, all the books, everything that we were like, that I think we're actually more passionate about in
Late
Star
90s,
Wars.
Late 90s, 2000s.
Totally. And we got so much good
Hodor,
stuff.
Baby.
And then,
heck yeah.
And then Disney bought. And then we got to experience probably what the original Star Wars kind of felt like, where it was managed by money people. And then there's like the oversaturation, the overselling of everything. And I wonder if that's part of it. And I wonder if we'll eventually balance out and find like a good balance
you
of
know
Star
what?
Wars again.
That's so funny that you say that, because I do have the feeling that things are kind of coming there. I feel like Disney has realized that. You know, the sequel trilogy angered a lot of people. You know, there was that initial sort of division where, like, some people liked The Last Jedi, a lot of people didn't like it.
But now everyone
hates the sequel trilogy, basically, except for, like, the dumb people. I'm sorry, guys. If you like The Rise of Skywalker, you have an issue to deal with.
What did I give it, like, a 9.9?
You monster.
You're on this James's side. That should say something.
I think
Disney is kind of coming to this point where they're like, oh, you know what? Let's go back to the things that we know they like. We know they like the Clone Wars. They're doing a spin-off series of the Clone Wars. We know they like the Mandalorian. Yeah. We're going to do more of that.
Giving us more story-based video games.
Yes.
They're also trying to figure out what's the right amount. I think there's been public statements. I don't know if it's about Star Wars or Marvel or both, but there have been executive producers being like, I think we could have done like one or two movies less.
For sure.
You know, because think about it. Before that, you only had the only like major mega franchise that was so long running would be like James Bond. And other than 30% of this room, no one gives a fuck about James Bond. It's not as powerful.
It's true.
And pervasive of a franchise. But now that you've got a company that owns these huge pieces of the cultural imaginary, you know, these huge things, and they're like, at first you're like, well, hit the gas. Let's put out two Marvel movies a year. This is going to be great.
Yep.
Merchandise the crap out of it. TV series as well.
Right.
It's like, okay, they're just finding out. It's a big experiment, and they're the first company to be like, okay, the public can only take so much, and we need to back off. And I think in the next few years, they are going to find out what people want.
I think part of why Marvel worked, too, is that they had such a good variety of characters and tones. And like as they kind of were feeling out this big experiment that's still ongoing, they kind of were able to kind of spread out a little bit. And I think by the end of it, they kind of homogenized again a little bit. But it seems like they're, again, going to spread out a little bit in the fourth phase. So we'll see.
But
we'll
again, you have variety there. With something like Star Wars, you really, you can't have one every year. I don't think you can really have spinoffs. You want there to be like one every year and a half or 2 years, and then like an 8-year hiatus.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then like another trilogy.
Think about how much more money The Force Awakens made than any of the other Star Wars movies. We were hungry for Star Wars, and then all of a sudden we were like filled with it, and we didn't want it anymore. It was like 2.1, 2.3 billion or whatever.
For sure.
Versus like 1.3 and then like less than a bill. Like,
You know what's funny about that though is that the only movies that I actually liked out of the recent Star Wars thing was the spinoffs. Like, I liked Rogue One.
You like Solo?
And Solo was okay.
It's okay.
Like,
if it wasn't Star Wars,
Solo.
It'd be better.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. And I liked The Mandalorian. I mean, The Mandalorian is just okay as a TV show.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. But as Star Wars, it's great. it's true. And I think what I wish they would have done is, like, put some major wait times between the main movies and just, like, give us some of the TV shows or something.
Totally. I think it should have been 3 years in between instead of two, and then maybe one movie in between, and then like an extra year for the last one.
Oh, man.
We just needed to be hungry for Star
Wars.
I'm
so jaded now, though, because now they're making Dune. It's going to be at least two movies just for the one first novel.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also a spinoff TV series about this one faction in Dune called the Bene Gesserit. And I see that they're going to have this series, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's.
But what if it's gonna be great? I don't know.
It might.
But
it might not be.
I think you're justified in being kind of cautious there.
But who am I? I actually have never really watched a spinoff series. I've never watched like Gotham or like the term like Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Well, I don't know.
Gotham
was
bad.
Yeah, I think. I think basically any daytime TV show. Are they daytime TV shows? Any TV shows based on like comics. It's not a good, except for what's it?
Frasier. That's the best spinoff show.
No, I'm saying based on comics.
Oh.
Frasier was a great. I love Frasier.
Great spinoff.
But Legion, I think, was the Marvel one with the character. That was actually good, but it was Marvel. All those DC shows, man, I can't. I think they're bad. But I think that I am. What this conversation has made me realize is that maybe my Star Wars fandom is healing.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
Before I hated it. I was like, get me away from this. I never want to see Star Wars again. I'm playing Jedi Fallen Order right now.
It's pretty good.
I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm hopeful for the future, and that's it. That's all I can say.
I agree. I think that they're as James was saying, they figured out their pacing a little bit more, and I'm not like instantly turning off Star Wars trailers.
Right.
I'm like, when I see the Rogue Squadron or whatever it's called, I'm like, cool, I'll watch this.
I'm stoked for that.
Yeah.
See, I can't get away.
Is Mel Brooks dead?
Nope, he's still going.
Is he
going
to make more movies? What was his latest movie?
The Producers? He didn't even direct that. He just wrote it because he made the stage play. He's not directing. There was talks of making a sequel to this.
Well, he's like super old.
He's like 90.
Yeah. I don't think he's like doing a lot more.
He's pretty sharp. He was on Seinfeld's Coffee with Comedians. He's still sharp. He's an old man, but he's there.
Oh, man.
He's
what
a brilliant
prolific
man.
Dude. Yeah. If we do he's another Mel Brooks... What do you guys want to do?
I'd love to do Blazing Saddles. It's a little too edgy, I think, for this podcast.
What do you mean for this podcast?
It's just, it's...
edgy period, maybe.
It's just edgy. It's a brilliant movie.
Yeah,
it's as good as his movies get. My other favorite ones are The Producers, the 2005 one, the musical that's based on the stage play. Brilliant.
That's like
so
Matthew Broderick and stuff?
Yeah, and Nathan Lane and Uma Thurman.
That was a big hit. I never saw it, though.
Oh, it was... Well, it won like 12 or 13 Tonys. It was only beat by Book of Mormon. And it's so funny. But then also Robin Hood Men in Tights. I love that one.
Ah, did I see... I think I saw that one. I only saw it once, though. I don't really remember.
Saw it as a child, yeah.
That's great.
I think I would do Young Frankenstein.
Oh, I love Young Frankenstein.
Because I... That's Mel Brooks, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I love Gene Wilder. I can't get enough of that dude.
Yeah.
He's so, it's sort of like Will Forte, so, sort of similar energy to Will Forte. He's just insane. But while he also seems like super genuine, like Gene Wilder, I can believe the character that he's playing while he's just like out of his mind.
Yeah. You heard it here. Will Forte is the next Willy Wonka, people.
I would pay so much money for that.
Wouldn't be that bad.
I would pay $10 a month for a subscription.
The Gene Wilder service.
James, do you know Will Mel Brooks movies? Do you have a pick or not?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know, man.
All right.
The producers, it is.
City Slickers? Billy Crystal?
Is that Mel Brooks?
No.
I don't know. I thought that was Blazing Saddles.
There's a lot of Mel Brooks movies that I haven't seen, like High Anxiety, 12th Chair, Silent Movie, History of the World, and Life Stinks. I've actually like just never seen them.
I've never heard of any of those. Maybe for good reason.
Maybe. They all have similar ratings to Spaceballs. So. I want to see High Anxiety. It's a spoof on Vertigo, and I love Vertigo. So.
Oh, it's a spoof?
Yeah.
High Anxiety. A spoof of Vertigo.
Sounds like a marijuana movie.
How do you spoof Vertigo?
Probably pretty lazily. I love Mel Brooks. Guys.
Oh, man.
If you're going to watch a Mel Brooks movie, go watch Blazing Saddles. It is 10 out of 10.
But if you're only going to watch one movie next week, make it Thor Ragnarok, because that's what we're going to cover next, everybody.
Okay.
And then after that, sorry, Americans, we're doing Tenet.
Oh!
It's coming out in Canada first, baby.
Yeah, what percentage of our audience is Americans?
Probably a high percent.
Most of them. Quite a bit of them.
You guys are going to be upset. But they're getting it September...
It's like not a week long. Later.
Not
yeah.
Third, I think. Something like that.
Oh! It'd be so sick.
Oh my gosh.
That was Euphoria.
Jeez Louise. Scared me.
I can't wait.
No, I am super stoked.
A new
stoked.
Movie.
Super yes! stoked for Tenet. Yeah.
This whole podcast has turned into like an old movie podcast.
I know, we've only done old movies. Originally we were like, should we do some old movies
yeah,
too?
Like once every 4 weeks maybe.
Yeah, every once in a while we can do an old movie.
And it's a new Christopher Nolan movie. It's so good.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That was honestly really exciting going to theaters. We're going to the theater?
Yeah.
We're going, baby.
But there's distancing.
Yeah.
But can we sit together?
I think, I don't know. I guess we're going to find out.
Maybe like
whose thigh will I grasp?
The time is going backwards. Oh!
Once the movie starts, they can't stop me.
That's true. You could just kind of, maybe they'll have barriers.
Unless someone reported me or something.
Well, we've been reported for going too long.
Yep. Well, that was like a tech-linked ending. And so this episode is really dumb. Come back next week for more Carpool Critics. Not tech news.
David, don't put this in.
No, do it.